Gloria, adjust your camera. For you on the, you all on the conference call, we'll start in about 1 minute. Gloria, do you hear me? Adjust your camera or turn on a light so I can see you. Okay, good evening everybody. I hope you're all well. Please join me in saying the Ana Bakoa. Ana Bakoa, Gedula Chimincha, Tatir Terura, Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. The gematria of these six letters is 506, the same gematria as the phrase Ahavatinam, unconditional love. Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu taharenu no Kufrei Shayim, Sintet Nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words, Kra, which means tear up, and Satan, which is the name of the negative force that gives us free will. The same six letters can be rearranged to spell Sha'ar Katan, which means small gates, and it's a reminder to us that we can always put guards on our gates, our eyes, our ears, our nose, our mouth, so that we don't let the Satan in. Na gibor dorshe yehudcha kevavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalad yud kaf shin. Nun gimel dalad is the sequence, has a gematria of 57, which is the same gematria as the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasa or sustenance. And sustenance is the fulfillment of all of our desires. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that we use to take back the energy that we have given to the negative side through our mistakes. Barchem Tacharem Rachamei Sidkatcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Tzadi Tav Gimel. This verse connects us to the sphere of Netzach, and one of the attributes of Netzach is eternal victory. And the only battle that really ever matters is our own battle against our desire to receive for oneself alone. And eternal victory is victory over that war, that battle. We also connect to the two letters for the month of Av, the Kaf, which created the sun, and the Tet that created the constellation Aryeh, or the lion. It also created the month of Av itself. Chesed Chasin Kadosh Birov Tuvcha Nael Adatach Petkuf Bet Tebdonayan. This sequence connects us to the Sphira of Hod, and one of the attributes of Hod is appreciation, thankfulness. We can always be reminded to be thankful for what we have received, and as part of the appreciation is to the ability to ask for more. But before one asks for more, one needs to appreciate all that one has. Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei zokrei kedushatach. Yud Gimel Lamed, Pei Zayin Kuf. These six letters form a sequence that helps us speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium. Shavatenu kaber, ushma tziyakatenu, yodea talumot, shinkufav tzadiyutav. This sequence, the first two letters, have a gematria of 400, and 400 relates to perfection of all four worlds, times 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. And the last four letters have the gematria of 506, the same as the first verse, which connects us to Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. And it teaches us that our desires and our actions for correction, to reach and achieve perfection, can only come about by injecting unconditional love into our relationships and into our actions. In the last verse, we say in a whisper, I'm now going to read a verse from the Zohar, from the Parsha of Ekev. This is from section 3, 10 things one must do for the meal. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunenei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunenehu Yetzer Tov Meteru Niyot Nita Kardisha Malchot Malchut HaKodesh V'Nachta V'Shabbat V'Lila Me'asar Sar Firan Me'atra Vishva Shemichan She'enan Nimchakin V'Kama Markutavot Rechivan Uvkim Hayolin Umishrayan Malka Nafik V'Kavla V'Kema V'Shiryan V'Ishta Arat Yetzer hara shifcha bisha b'chashukka kira malta kila bala kala markavot. The good inclination is the Holy Queen, Malchut, of holiness that descended on Shabbat that is comprised of 10 sephirot. She is decorated with 7 names that are not erased, with the many chariots of the living creatures, and with the many armies and camps of angels. The king goes out to her with many camps, and the evil inclination, that is the wicked handmaid, remains in the dark like a widow without her husband, without any chariots. the verse is talking about, and the whole section is talking about what happens when Shabbat comes in. And we know that Friday afternoon we have the Star Wars. We have the war between positive and negative. The negative always loses and ceases to operate as soon as Shabbat comes in. But they also always put up this war. And that's why people have more accidents on Friday. They have more traffic jams on Friday. They have more stress on Friday. All of this is developing to receive the Shabbat. And this verse is talking about what happens using the metaphor of the king coming to sit with the queen, bringing all his chariots, all his camps of angels, all ready to praise the queen, which is Malchut. And the negative forces have been vanquished during the Star Wars, and they sit in the dark, without any lights, without any substance, during the whole of Shabbat, including the fires of Gehinnom, the fires of hell, that turn off when Shabbat comes in, and do not restart until Shabbat ends. And the ending of Shabbat is when we choose to end it by doing Havdalah. Tonight's class is about preparing ourselves for the new year, which is coming very soon. It's only 7 weeks away. Actually, less. I believe it's starting September 9th, the evening of September 8th. Could be the evening of September 9th. I'm not 100% certain, but by next week, we'll be talking about the specific dates. Before I start, does anybody have any questions? This is also the first time that I'm using with this group of people the program UVU that lets the video conference take place. We used it very successfully on Sunday, and I thought there was going to be more people utilizing it, but that didn't seem to happen. Only one person is utilizing it tonight, and that's fine. It's a good beginning. So, let's talk about preparation for the holidays. There is an event on Rosh Hashanah. It's a cosmic event. It happens every year. It is the judgment day of every human being. Every human being dies the night of Rosh Hashanah. Literally. There's no joke here. Every human being runs out of energy and immediately is given an injection of energy sufficient to go through 10 days of Yom Kippur. That means you change that night. You change from the person that you were in this year that we are in now. And you become a newborn, an immature entity, immediately upon your demise and resurrection. You become a newborn. You are immature. And that for 22 days of the holidays that are in Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, the 10 days of awe, Yom Kippur, the 4 days leading up to Sukkot, the 7 days of Sukkot, the day of Shmini Atzeret, the day of Simchat Torah, that adds up to 22 days. Those 22 days represent the process of birth to maturation. In those 22 days, a judgment takes place on every human being. It actually takes place on Rosh Hashanah itself, which is considered one long day. There's actually 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. but it's considered one long day. They're not 2 days. It's one long day. This is the writings of the Talmud. So what happens? The essence of the judgment is, what did you do this year that makes your case to be included in the living next year? It sounds frightening. It sounds frightening, doesn't it? But it isn't. I'm going to have to stop for 1 second. This is an emergency. I'll be right back. I'm back. Sorry for the interruption. But there's been a series of people in crisis the last couple of days. And it's part of the energy leading up to Rosh Hashanah. Because what happens in the universe is all of the opportunities are presented to you between now and Rosh Hashanah to change the mistakes that you made during the year. Those people that you hurt will come into your life. They may come into your life as a thought. They may come into your life in a telephone call or an email. Maybe somebody you haven't heard from for years. All of these are the opportunities that the universe is presenting to you to change the mistakes that you've made. A lot of times people see those opportunities as just normal process. They're not. The month of Elul, 4 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, is unique. Each of the months, the Hebrew months, is unique. Each of them have their special energy. Elul is dealing with the Virgin. Betuel. I read an interesting midrash today that had finally gave me some understanding of what the concept of virginity was. During the generation of the flood and afterwards, there was discussion between the angels and Hashem that essentially said, man is foolish. We would not make these same mistakes. We don't understand how he can do what he does, and we don't understand why you created him, Hashem. And Hashem's response was, don't walk. Don't judge someone until you walked in their shoes. If you were in the physical body with the same desires that are associated with the physical body, you do the same mistakes. And actually, you do them much worse. And the result of this conversation is angels chose to leave heaven and reside in the earth, on the earth. And the first action that they did was they saw a woman, a child of man. And she was very beautiful. And many of them attempted to entice her into having sex with them, to having relationships with them. And she refused them. She knew it was wrong. They knew it was wrong. They were overcome by the physical beauty that she represented. Ultimately, she, in her banter, in her whatever conversations they had, She enticed them into giving her the knowledge of how to travel between heaven and earth. And she received the code, which is one of the 72 names. And she went up to heaven, to the throne. And when she presented her petition, God said, for being so beneficial, for doing what was right, and going against your desire to receive for oneself alone, your reward is to be the constellation Betuel, the Virgo, the Virgin. That may not seem to be a reward to you. What's the benefit? But ultimately, we have many stories that explain that when someone reaches their tikkun, their correction, the next cycle of creation, the next cycle of 7,000 years, that soul is then given a planet, a star, a universe, in order to control and be godlike. And yet all of those things are answerable and respond to Hashem and his directions. But within those directions is much room for all of that godlike power. Truly, that is the reward for those people who achieve correction, ultimately. And we, in the Zohar, there are verses that say you will be given so many worlds to control, to live, to be. And it's all part of these, people read them as metaphors. But this story, this Midrash, is telling us it's not just a metaphor, it's also a physical, spiritual reality. You can accept this as what with the statements that I'm saying, or you can see it as metaphors. They're both right, because it's all according to your consciousness. And that is ultimately what the month of Elul is about. The metaphor about the month of Elul is that God comes closer to us so that it is easier to do tshuva. God sends these people back into our life for us to recognize the mistakes. We all remember what tshuva is, but let's review it. Tshuva is the concept of going back to the future. Now, what is it? What do I mean by back to the future? In the movie titled Back to the Future, the two people went back in time, interacted with people of that time, made changes to their history, to their past, and then returned to the present with a new future. The world was changed. And that is the power of tshuva, which is actually returning the hay to the tetragrammaton. When we do a negative action, we separate the hay from the yud-kei-vav. And when we do tshuva, we repair that break. We reassemble the name of God into its fullness. How do we do tshuva? We do it with consciousness. We do it with meditation. We do it with going back to that moment when we made the mistake. And when we make this mistake, now we can move forward because our meditation will have changed that mistake so that it's no longer a mistake. We did not do that action. We changed it. we did restriction. In our consciousness, ultimately, what manifests in the universe, as we know, we create the world we live in. Well, the world we live in now, before the tshuva, before the meditation, the world we live in has a consequence of that action. It has chaos hanging around the universe with our name on it, waiting to just dump on us. It has to wait because Hashem has built into the system a period, something called time, something called mercy, which allows us to do tshuva before the chaos enters our life. But that chaos that has the name Hanoch, or anybody else's chaos, has been scheduled. The negative action was judged on the day it was done. And the chaos, the effect of the boomerang law, was set. It's built into the universal movie we're in. That chaos is supposed to hit us today, this year, or next year, or the lifetime after. Whenever it is supposed to hit us, it has been set into motion. And it has our name on it, and it is programmed to find our soul. And it goes looking for us. But when we've done tshuva, that soul, named Hanoch, is not the same soul. That chaos cannot find us. It stays around the universe looking for that Hanoch all over again, day after day after day. And it never finds us because Hanoch has changed. The meditation, the tshuva, has caused that action to never have been. In our life, that person who was called Hanoch and who is called Hanoch today are two different people. This is the power of tshuva. This is the power of Elul, where God comes closer and makes it easier for us to do the tshuva. It's not easy. It's still spiritual work, and spiritual work is never easy. But this is the process leading up to... Yes? Gloria, do you have a question? Okay. This is the process leading up to Rosh Hashanah, when we will be judged according to who we were this past year. We will be judged by saying, are you going to be written in the book of life, the book of death, or the book of I'm not sure? It's not that God is not sure. God, in his mercy, is giving you a chance to change yourself out of the book of death and into the book of life. If we do our spiritual work during the month of Elul, we do not have to do any spiritual work on Rosh Hashanah, the 10 days of awe, and Yom Kippur. We don't have to. But the truth is, none of us can ever be certain we truly have done all the tshuva we're capable of. And therefore, we always assume that we haven't done sufficient work. Plus, the more we cleanse through this tshuva process, the more we elevate ourselves and the more energy we can receive for the year. And we are going to be the ones who make this calculation. That will take place on Yom Kippur, but we're still talking about Elul and Rosh Hashanah. There are certain meditative actions that it is recommended to do starting on the first day of Elul, which is about 3 weeks away, two or three weeks away. The meditative action is to read a certain part of the Tikkuni Zohar. I read to you each day or each week from the Zohar itself. The Zohar has components, has parts that are really the whole. One of those is referred to as the correction Zohar, Tikkuni Zohar. Tikkuni means correction. There, the Tikkuni Zohar was actually written, according to the information from the Kabbalists, was written by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai himself. It's the only thing he wrote, per se. And it's the reason he spent 13 years in the cave with his son. The Tikkuni Zohar is literally correcting the word Bereshit. Now, Bereshit is the first word in the Torah. The first of anything has all of the energy within it. Just as this moment we are in now has all of the energy for all of the future moments that will come. The future doesn't happen independently of the past. It happens because of the consequences of the now. The actions we do in the present cause the future to manifest. When we do tshuva, we change that future because our present has changed. We're no longer the same people. Now, the word Bereshit has all of the energy of the Torah, all of the energy of creation, because the Torah is the blueprint of creation. Now, we have taken this, and Rabbi Shimon has given us 70 explanations, 70 understandings, 70 essays on the word Bereshit. Those are what we should read during the 40 days between Rosh Chodesh Elul and Yom Kippur. There's a set schedule for what's to be read when, and we don't really have access to the Tikkuni Zohar online. We have access to parts of it, and it is not yet complete. During this next year, we anticipate that it will be complete online. The Daily Zohar is essentially putting sections of the Tikkuni Zohar online day by day. And it has been about a year that he has been doing that. And he estimated it would take him a little over 2 years. So this is where we stand. You can go out and buy a Tikkuni Zohar, and it will be marked with what's to be read each day of Elul. Or you can go online and sign up for Daily Zohar and get each day a connection to the Tikkuni Zohar, which will change you as part of this process of Elul, as part of this process of cleansing that Elul represents. Because the understanding of the Virgin is part of cleansing. We also do something called Slichot. It's a set of prayers. I intend to put on my website a PDF file that will let you do Slichot every day. Slichot is a word that is really corrupted in the translations, and even in the usage in Israel, in Hebrew, modern Hebrew. People say slicha, meaning excuse me. I need to get by here. Excuse me, could you move? Slicha. But slicha actually has a gematria of 98. 98 is the number of curses in the Torah. As we have explained, a curse is a blessing when the vessel is dirty, when the vessel is not clean, when the vessel is not prepared for the light of revelation. Slichot is a process of cleansing. That process of cleansing uses three aspects. One is the blowing of the shofar. Wake up. Use these sounds to find and destroy all of that chaos that's supposed to find you. When you hear the sound, use your kavanah, use your consciousness, and inject into that sound to find the chaos, the missile that's supposed to hit you and our world. Because remember, what you do for yourself alone is going to manifest as chaos. So always do what I'm talking about with the consciousness of more than yourself, with the consciousness of sharing. The three things that Slichot do is, one, we blow the shofar. Two, we use the 13 attributes. Now, I've given you a class on the 13 attributes. I've told you to be saying it every day, because the 13 attributes of mercy is the highest, most powerful form of cleansing, light, removal of negativity that we have available to us. And all we have to do is sing it. I shouldn't say all we have to do, because if you sing it with the consciousness of selfishness, it's not going to work. But if you sing it with the consciousness of other people, it will work for them. And you are the channel of that cleansing for them, which means you will get cleansed. And the third aspect of Slichot is the Aleph Bet, the Hebrew letters themselves, in specific orders, in the normal order of Aleph Bet, Gimel Dalet, etc., and the reverse order of Taf, Shin, Resh, Kaf, Kuf, Tzadi, Pei. Those two orders represent direct light and returning light. They represent the light coming down to the earth and restriction sending it back, which is the only way it can be returned and be utilized. We're describing the spiritual systems. I'm just touching on things. Each one of these sentences could take an hour class unto itself. So what are we supposed to do? Starting with Rosh Chodesh Elul, the Sephardim get up the second day of Elul. They get up and they start saying Slichot an hour early, because it takes them an hour to say all of their Slichot. It might take us 10 or 12 minutes to scan the Slichot on the PDF file that I will make available to you. It will be on the Yeshem website. It will be talked about in the emails, you should be able to find it easily. I hope you utilize it. I hope you go online, and again you will have a link on the page, to a blowing of the shofar. Because every day you need to hear the shofar during the lul, except the last day. That day you don't hear it. You're not supposed to hear the shofar that day, but every other day. And the Slichot prayers themselves are in the order of the Aleph Bet. And the Slichot prayers themselves have the 13 attributes. The purpose of Elul is cleansing. The purpose of Rosh Hashanah is judgment. We need to cleanse ourselves before we get judged. Or we can accept what takes place and has taken place for the last 5,000 or so years. Every human being, Jew or non-Jew, gets judged. If we understand the rituals, we utilize the rituals that come from the Kabbalah through the Jewish nation, we can modify that judgment. We can prepare for that judgment to be merciful. That is the purpose of scanning the Zohar, the Tikkuni Zohar during Elul and the 10 days of awe between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. That is also the purpose of the Slichot prayers. And there's one final action which is done every Friday during the year by the Sephardim, but most especially very important to do the morning of Rosh Hashanah's evening. That morning we do Nedarim. We cancel the vows. We cancel every statement that we made during this year that we received energy for, because that's what a vow is. We say a statement, I'm going to be at so-and-so's house at 7:30 next Monday. And we get there at 7:31, we have great chaos. What is that chaos? It's chaos that's looking to find us sometime in the future based on the judgment that took place that night when we didn't get there on time. Now, when that person remains that person, does not do tshuva about the vow, we are given this tool to be able to cancel the vows, because that chaos is energy. It's a missile waiting to land in our life. And the cancellation of the vows takes that missile with all of its power, all of the bomb power that it has to create chaos, and takes that light away from coming into our life and sends it back to where it was originally, before we set a vow that caused the Creator to give us that energy. Because whenever you say you will do something, you receive the energy to do it. This is the essence of a vow, and this is why it's important to cancel it the morning of Erev Rosh Hashanah. Now we have Rosh Hashanah itself. One long day, meaning 2 days. The hearing of 100 blasts of the shofar. Th- this is something that is extremely difficult to do without a minion, because most people don't know how to blow the shofar. And when we look at the language of the Torah, it doesn't say blow the shofar. It says know the shofar. You have to know what you're doing. The person who blows the shofar has to be knowledgeable. It isn't about playing a pretty tune. It's about what is the consciousness that the blower of the shofar injects into each note, each sound. Because that note goes up to the Sphira of Bina and awakens the mercy and causes the Creator to change from the throne of judgment to the throne of mercy. This is the secret that the Jewish nation has had for 5,000 plus years. And people look around and say, you've survived the Shoah, you've survived the expulsion from this country and that country, you've survived all of this chaos over all of these years. How do you do it? By hearing the shofar and knowing what the shofar does. This is the secret. You have free choice. You can go to Rosh Hashanah. I probably won't be in Los Angeles this year for Rosh Hashanah. I will be somewhere else. Every Jewish synagogue blows the shofar. The Reform movement blows 10 times, not 100. The Conservative movement blows 100. The Orthodox blows 100. Each of these synagogues have different communities. Each of these synagogues have different people who are asked to blow the shofar. Each of them have different criteria for choosing who has the merit, the honor of blowing the shofar. If the person you are hearing is not injecting the proper consciousness, he is doing it for the minyan, for the whole congregation. But you can do it for yourself and your family. You can do it for where your consciousness is. You can do it for the whole world or just your neighborhood. But each blowing of the shofar has to have an injection of consciousness of what you are trying to accomplish. Now comes the 10 days of awe. I should say, the one long day has two components. The first day, the first part, is judging, strong judgment, strict judgment, harsh judgment. The second day is judging less severe judgments. Some years, Rosh Hashanah comes on Shabbat, and we don't blow the shofar, because the Shabbat brings us that merciful level. I'm not sure if it's going to be like that this year. It was last year. But it is important that we know the shofar, and it is important to hear the shofar. It is important to annul the vows the morning of the night of Rosh Hashanah, to To denull the vows takes a court of three men, or three people. The Orthodox say men, the other two groups say people, men and women. Find a synagogue. Go for these actions. Make it your business to utilize all of the tools of the Kabbalah that will help you cleanse yourself from this year's actions so that the world you create next year is chaos-free. We have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and then we have 8 days for a total of 10 days called the Days of Awe. For those people who were written in the work, the book of I Don't Know, those people continue to do tshuva. They continue to beseech the Creator for mercy. They continue to ask to be written in the book of life. In effect, you have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and the day of Yom Kippur. That leaves 7 days elsewhere. There are 7 days in the week. That means each of the days of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, etc., each of those days of the week, the days of awe represent the first of those days in this new year. It represents the first Sunday. It represents the first Tuesday. This represents the first Shabbat, etc. The actions that you do on the first of anything affect the actions for the rest of the year. So what you do on the Shabbat of the Days of Awe will affect every Shabbat of that year. What you do on Sunday will affect every Sunday of that year. So take a look at what you do in those 10 days, in those 7 days. Study more. Restrict more. Stop getting upset more. Recognize that if you get angry, you're injecting anger into every day of that year on the day that you got angry. So if it was Sunday, every Sunday you're going to have anger. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, 5 of the days I've been able to do pretty well. But there's always 2 of those days that I blow. Some years it's Tuesday and Thursday. Some years it's Monday and Sunday. Some years it's another. But 2 days, actions take place that I'd rather that didn't take place. And those actions come back every one of those Sundays, every one of those Tuesdays, for that whole year. Make the special extra effort that week to do things properly. Study more. Say more prayers. Do more meditation. Stop your reactions more often. Do the spiritual work during the Elul and Tishrei holidays. Do that spiritual work. Hashem will watch your business. Hashem will take care of you if you're doing the work. Because the spiritual system says, if I judge myself, if I evaluate myself, Hashem doesn't judge me. But I've said to you, everybody is judged on Rosh Hashanah. If you went through a whole year without making a judgment against anybody but yourself, there would be no judgment for you to receive on Rosh Hashanah. But who can make that statement who can be truthful about that kind of life? We all make mistakes. We all do the wrong actions. The 10 days of awe culminate in Yom Kippur. I don't want to go into Yom Kippur. We're almost out of time. We have a few minutes for questions. Next week, we will continue this discussion for the rest of the holidays so that you will have an overall understanding. But prepare yourself. Lori, are you asking a question? Okay. Does anybody have any questions before we sign off for tonight? Next week, on Tuesday, we will continue the discussion of the Tishrei holidays. We will continue explaining these tools of Kabbalah that are merciful tools, that sweeten the judgments that we have created for ourselves. These are the ultimate secrets for the Jewish people, which means somebody who has opened the door to the spiritual world. Find a synagogue, pay the money to go. Without doing so, you are creating a year